true, right?
Yeah.
Father, we come to you because you came to us. You brought us a wellness. You brought us peace. You brought us a place that we can stand in peace with you. We praise you for that. We praise you for where you have placed us at in your peace. You have placed us into your Son. And it is in His name. If you can get to Sunday school. Now it's on. Am I on? I'm on. It's a show, can't you tell? Last week, was this Mother's Day last week? My goodness, it seems like it's just, time is flying by. You know, it's kind of crazy. Last week, the title of the message was, "There is but one Savior, and you ain't He." And it was a message to moms. It was a message to all of us in reality that we're going to walk a little bit more into today. But it was a message that said that we are not in the place of being a Savior. We are in the place of being saved. And the truth is that we in our intellect and in our perceptions, we jump into the place of being a Savior only when we have moved away from the reality that we are being saved. That we have been saved, but we are being saved. And so that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at salvation. We're going to look, and we may be over the next couple of two or three weeks looking at salvation, because it's not like the least little thing in our experience. I think it bears walking into, and I think it fits very well in to our journey that we've been going in over the last several weeks about knowing God, knowing Him more intimately, more clearly. I think that it is a valuable place to be in. We have a video this morning. I hope it kind of turns out right. Videos are always a bit of a gamble here at Grace Life. But I think it illustrates one aspect of salvation, just one aspect, but I think it might be good to start with. It starts to fall apart. And although I walk down a little side trail and have a little fun with that in my head, that's not the point. The only point is that we have been delivered into the kingdom of His beloved Son. That's the only point. It's a pretty good one, though. You see, we weren't saved only from our sins. Listen to this in 2 Timothy chapter 1. "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, His prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ." So when were you saved? Never mind. I'm not asking that, really. Let me read this again. And I'm just messing with your mind because it messes with my mind, and I don't deserve to be alone. Let me read this again. "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, His prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God." Now, Paul's like excited about this, which is weird because he says, "Join with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, through the good news, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher. Paul is saying that we were saved to life. We were saved from death, but we were saved to life. Now, here's another kind of irritating thing. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through 7. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. How did we receive Christ Jesus the Lord? Not of our works. Not of our works, according to this. Not of our efforts. Not of anything we could bring to the table. Not of our best intentions. We weren't saved by the hair of our chinny chin chins. We were saved because He came and got us. We weren't expecting to be saved. We weren't developing our own plan of escape. We weren't doing anything. We were sitting there in our despair, in our darkness. And we heard our name call. And He came and He got us and He threw us over His shoulder and He took us upon the cross and He killed that which needed to be killed and He birthed that which needed to be birthed. He saved us to new life. Old things have passed away. He came and got us. So grace, the power of grace, the movement of God, starts to make a little bit of sense, doesn't it? The power of grace is not something that where we just get a bye because or a mulligan or a you know or another chance. It's not grace to overlook our mistakes. No, the grace that I'm talking about this morning is a grace that comes and gets you. It's a moving grace, it's a compelling grace, it's a loving grace. Comes and gets you. Get you while you are sick and weak and of no ability of your own. It comes after you. Therefore, and this is the thing that ties it to present tense. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Therefore, as you have received this grace, received this power that came after you, received this love of God, you have received it. As you have received that, then live every day receiving that power and that grace. Every day, every breath, live according to that, because anything else is a lie. But I have constructed all of these things in my life that demand something else from other people. And I would be a hypocrite if I didn't live the same way myself. Well, then what I'm encouraging you today is give up on living that way, because it's just death. But I need to get what's mine. That's death. People just need to do what's right. That's death. It's death. Live as if nobody owes you anything. Because you got to crawl back into this world, which you can't do, because you can't get there from here. For you to live a life where you are owed something, or where you owe somebody else something, for you to live life that way is impossible. You got to be deceived that you're back living in a kingdom of darkness, where that becomes the currency of life. You have been delivered to a kingdom of the beloved Son, where now the currency is love, forgiveness, grace. Because now the power of grace flowing through you means that you are compelled to go after people. Not as a duty, not as a mission, not as a calling. God forbid all those things. You go because that's who you are. You find yourself stopping along the way of life, and you find yourself speaking life into people. You find yourself surrounding people. You find yourself laying on top of people. You find yourself being the feet, the arms, the body of Christ. Again, not as a mission. But as long as the enemy can keep you pigeonholed into the thought that salvation was in the past, it has nothing to do with my present. I've just got to do the best I can do until I get to the prize in the future. But in the meantime, it's just a mean time. Listen to this. As I finish Colossians chapter 2. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him. None of this has got anything to do with your efforts, by the way. And established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Therefore, as you have received Christ, having been firmly rooted, and now being built up in Him, and established in your faith, and overflowing with gratitude. Yeah, just be. I got some interesting emails. I think I might have mentioned this last week. I got some interesting emails and Facebook posts and messages because I wrote this Mother's Day thing to Tracy. And I said, you know, she is the only mom that I have seen that never tried to be a better mom. Never worried about having done something wrong. She just was Tracy. She was just mom. She lived at a place of being mom. She didn't try. Am I right, Jenny? Didn't she? She never tried to be a better mom. She never got books about being a better mom. She never asked for a lot of advice. And she just was who she was. And all the time that would have been wasted trying to be better was being experienced in a relationship with her children. She never claimed to have all the answers. She never claimed to be their savior. She never did anything. She just beat. And I because we live in a place of comparison, we hear that and we go, well, I'm glad she was able to. No, I know the woman. It was a miracle. It wasn't her ability, it was where God's grace was evidenced at in her life. It was just where she was. It's what Carol said a minute ago. Just be who we are, but need to understand who we are is amazing. Who we are is, it's like shining lights of which the whole world sees. Who we are, we have been saved to something that is amazing. And the enemy has, at some point in time, all of us convinced that we are just a little bit this side of being horsemen. That's where the enemy has us living. So, how did we receive Christ? This is going to be a mouthful, but it's great. And we'll pick back up on this next week. How did we receive Christ? And you who were dead in your trespasses and sins, this is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. I encourage you just to park yourself there for a little while. And you who were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you were formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. You who used to be in the midst of these demons. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh. We looked just like them then. Indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, got in his helicopter, put his gun on, got his grenades. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So in ages to come, when somebody says, "Who is this God?" he looks and he goes and he says, "Kevin, come here. Let me show you who I am." And he shows you the grace that was deposited by placing Kevin inside of Jesus. That there could be no more safe place, no more place of being beloved, no more place of security, no more place of never getting it wrong, no more place of falling up short, no more place of needing to be better. No more better place than being in Christ. So that, verse 7, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not the results of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the good works which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So we received him by grace. We then continue to walk by grace. But not a forgetful grace. Not a grace that just overlooks. Remember, it was a grace that came after you. It was a grace that is a moving grace. It is a grace that is a rescuing grace. But it rescued you from, and it rescued you to. Over the next few weeks, I really want to walk into what it has rescued us to. To the present tense need to be saved every day. Not in the formulaic salvation of praying a prayer so that you get a ticket, train ticket to heaven. I mean, the closest we'll ever get to that is getting on the bus with Kevin, driving it today, going to a rain-soaked Braves game. Have you got your ticket? Did you pay your price? No, he rescued us not to a location. He rescued us to his Son, to a relationship, to a love, to an all-encompassing, protecting, saving love. That we require to have it as people that breathe oxygen require oxygen. You understand that? Salvation, the person of Christ, the Savior, that we have been saved into. We need the understanding, the revelation, the experience, whatever the word is we want to. We need Him the way we need to breathe. Every moment of every day. Because when we are deceived that we are in the middle time, that He is not present with us, when we are deceived to that place, we look just like a fish struggling for air, flopping around that we just threw on the bank. And we want to call that life. It's not what we were saved for. Pray that the Lord reveals that to us individually. So, Father, we come to you because you came to us. You came. and you rescued us. You saved us. You brought us to your Son. You delivered us into a kingdom of which we now live. And Lord, we can't know that by our intellect. We can only know that by your Spirit. You have given us your Spirit as the testimony of our citizenship. And instead of a passport, Lord, you gave us the Holy Spirit. And instead of, Lord, instead of fear, we now have security, and we praise you. But Lord, you have set us free. And the only way we can live by that freedom is by way of your Holy Spirit. So Lord, we desire to know that life every moment and every day. And we sit back and we wait because we know we can only know it by way of your Son and your Spirit. And we praise you for them both in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks, guys. When clouds and sun